Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. Across from me, as always, is Jordan Sherwood, our first show of the new year. I will not wish you a happy new year
because it's
too late.
It's done.
To do that.
It's over.
It's over a week. You and I have already seen each other since then, so we don't need to wish each other a happy new year. But happy first UFC event of 2025.
You know this. I am uber excited to get 2025 going, put 2024 in the rearview mirror. It was my first year on the losing end overall for the year. So I'm excited to kickstart with this UFC fight night. Hopefully we don't get as many UFC fight nights in the Apex, but we've got one.
Yeah.
And then we talked about it before the holidays. We've got some major, major fights coming up. But good to see you and glad to get started again on this year. Although, you know, people are already upstairs, you know, on the sales and marketing side of things, already asking and they're asking me, like, hey, like, why is it still called the Unnamed MMA Podcast? Like, where's the sponsor? I'm like, whatever you want to do. Put a title in front of it. We're open.
It would still be the Unnamed MMA Podcast, but it would be presented by...
Yes.
Yeah, so, listen, That's on
them and also me.
Yeah, but that's your side of the building, man. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, Listen, I'm available for any calls and whatever you need, but that's on your side of the building.
I'm speaking for myself, calling myself out.
I'm just saying. I thought they were, like, itching for picks or something. I didn't know we had that many people that listened upstairs to the Unnamed MMA Podcast.
There's only a few people that receive the texts that I send out. As recommendations. But here's the thing. Like, occasionally, like, one of the guys that gets texts from me is Cap. Like, you know, David Kaplan, mornings with Captain J. Hood.
Cap's betting these?
I don't know if he is or not. He gets them. But it's not like if I miss sending him picks for the week, like, he's asking me, like, hey, where are the picks? It's only the major fight cards that people come out and they're like,
absolutely.
Who do you like in the Jones-Miocic fight?
For sure. And so I feel like this first card, so last week was the first week of the new year. New Year's Day was on a Wednesday, and then people came back to work on like Thursday or Friday, and then you had the weekend, and now you get a full week. I feel like that's what this fight night is. You get this little taste, this little welcome back, and then next week is the big one as we get Makhachev and Tsarukyan 2. That's going to be the big one. And we start now with a little, you know, UFC fight night. Dern and Hibas 2, okay, it's a rematch. It is at the Apex. I've got a bunch of fights at the Apex on the schedule right now.
Yeah, I mean, they had teased the fact that they were going to, you know, stop doing the Apex cards, put more and more fights in front of live audiences. And I do believe, like, if you took a look at the numbers, like, 2025 will end up being more live events than 2024.
Yeah.
But you're right, yeah, they are at the Apex for the first couple here in Q1.
Come to Chicago. You got an event in Seattle. That's ridiculous. Come to Chicago.
Okay, talk to Bilal.
What do you talk to Bilal? He's got to talk to Dana White.
Bilal's got to say, hey, I want to fight at the UC.
All right.
I want to fight at the Rosemont Horizon.
Allstate Arena.
I like calling it the Rosemont Horizon.
So do I. the Tweeter Center out in Tinley Park.
I don't go that deep.
You don't go that far?
I go Rosemont Horizon
because,
like, that's like
on,
late
man.
80s, you know, wrestling
I
would go to shows there.
I went to many a WWF event
at the Rosemont
at the
Horizon.
Rosemont Horizon. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's get started here with this UFC fight night. The main event is Mackenzie Dern and Amanda Ribas. We'll get to that in a little bit. It is a rematch from a few years ago, but we'll get started with the first fight on the main card here. Punahale Soriano against Uros Medic here. Medic is minus 195, the favorite, and Soriano is plus 165. Actually, I take that back. Medic has moved all the way up to minus 215 since yesterday when I looked, and Soriano is out to plus 165. Rodriguez is making his seventh appearance under the UFC banner. First round submission loss to Julian Arosa last July from Milwaukee. Huh? Little local flavor, kind of. Yeah, and then Bashi makes the walk for the first time. So he got a contract from Dana White Contender Series. You're going to hear that a couple times here. Dana White Contender Series for these people. So, all right, here we go with Punahale and Medic. What do you think?
Yeah, so I think, you know, first and foremost, Soriano is coming
That's
up.
The next fight.
Well, I that was the first fight I was looking at, but which one do you want me to talk about? Punahale, Soriano, U.S. Medic, or Rodriguez-Bashi fight?
Medic and Punahale.
Okay, so Punahale is coming off probably the best performance of his UFC career. career. He ended up becoming not only a guy that landed the most significant ground strikes in UFC history, but he also, you know, notched a couple of other UFC records for differential and total strikes in a three-round bout, and most strikes landed in a round, 184 in round three. And the reason why he was so successful and shattering those records against Miguel Baeza is because he remembered, Soriano did, that he does have wrestling in his back pocket. This is a guy that was a Division II wrestler, but when he got to the UFC, he forgot all about that and just wanted to knock people out. And look, it did work out well for his first two UFC appearances, but then when the level of competition started to get better, like Brendan Allen and Roman Kopylov, like, you know, those are guys that knocked him out. And Soriano went back to his roots and was able to dominate a guy. So does Soriano, you know, go back to the well again? Does he become that efficient wrestler against a guy in Uris Medic who, like, look, has looked very good in three out of his last four performances in the UFC? They are all by knockouts. He's absolutely going to be the better striker in the octagon. I think his fluidity is going to cause a little bit of issues. Soriano, when he gets into a striking battle, he's a guy that wants to just land bombs on you and just go to war, and I don't think that that's necessarily a smart decision. I would look to try and see if you could get some takedowns. We've seen Medic get submitted before. Jalen Turner submitted him a few years ago back at UFC 266, but I don't think that that's going to happen. I think Medic is the better fighter. I think this is going to be a striking battle, which Medic is going to be successful. So while it's at right now, like, minus 215, 205, you said how it ballooned up. I don't have ESPN bet in front of me what the latest odds are, but I will say this. I think Medic is the rightful favorite. Favorites hit around 72-73% of the time in 2024, so why not start off the same way this year? Medic wins the fight.
All right, Medic is going to win this fight at minus right now 215, like I told you. So that's a lot of juice to lay. So let's look at some method of victory. Medic by knockout plus 145, Medic by points plus 350, Soriano by points plus 450, and then Soriano by knockout plus 460.
I think the Medic by points, if you want to start, you know, feeling frisky right off the top and go down those prop bets, Medic by decision, because we have seen, you know, Soriano does have a good chin. He has been stopped by strikes, but I don't think Medic has that overwhelming power. It's volume that he overwhelms his opponents, and I just don't think Soriano is going to succumb to that. So Medic on the points, if you want to add, you know, obviously significant value, take that down from a minus 215 to a plus 310. You said 320?
Yeah, around there, plus 350.
Okay, well, even better. That's so even that would be my suggestion if you want to go that route. But again, first fight that we're picking in 2025, just Medic straight up on the money line.
All right, are we putting it in the parlay?
Yes, we are.
All right, so this was the fight I was actually talking about. We're off to a rip-roaring start here in 2025.
Do you hear that, by the way, that, like, construction that's going on in my background? Is that annoying you?
No, so what it is, no, because I'm used to, I've been here for 20 years, Jordan, and I'm used to this stuff now. So what that is the heater. And when the heater turns on and off, it makes noise.
Okay. So just for all of our fans that are listening, that's what it is.
Yeah, nothing's going to fall on you. Maybe some paint. Sometimes some paint chips off and falls, but, like, nothing real is going to fall.
Okay.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Yeah.
It's why we're wearing helmets in here. Christian Rodriguez right now is plus 215 against Austin Bashy. Austin Bashy minus 290. Bashy's the one making his first appearance here, and Rodriguez is the one that coming off of a first-round submission loss to Julian Arosa in July from Milwaukee, 4-2 in his last six UFC starts. What do you think of this one as Rodriguez, the somewhat local guy, I guess, from Milwaukee?
Yeah, I mean, look, are you leaning into Christian Rodriguez, who's obviously, he's been in the UFC, he's been in there with better competition, or are you looking at Austin Bashy, who's, like, looked really good wrestling background, shown some very good striking, good submissions on the regional scene? And look, the odds makers believe that Bashy is a real deal. And what I'm looking at this fight, and I look at what he did on the regional scene and watching some film on him, this is a guy that also looks to go for chokes, looks to go for finishes. So he's not a guy that's just going to, you know, you dance around and try and outpoint you. And Christian Rodriguez, just as we saw in his last fight, is susceptible to the submission loss. Julian Arosa was able to get him out of there via submission. So there's also another factor, too, that Christian Rodriguez is going up in weight. He definitely did not like the weight cut down to bantamweight. It wasn't doing him favors, but I don't think he's an enormous guy. I think that he was just maybe for lack of a better word, lazy in his weight cut and his methodical approach to that. So I don't think he's going to be the bigger fighter. I don't think he's going to have an advantage physically. So not only do I like Bashi to win, I think this is a showcase fight for him. There's a reason why he's getting matched up in this type of scenario and could be a guy that's factoring it at featherweight down the road. So I think he wins the fight. He's going into my parlay. So that's not leg number two already. But more importantly, you're going to need to tell me what I'm going to be able to get Bashi at submission to win the fight.
Plus 470, Bashi by submission.
Yeah, I think that's worth a look. Just, again, recency bias, looking at how Christian Rodriguez the last time out went, what Bashi could do, and what we've seen from him, what I know what he's capable of from a submission standpoint. Not a guy that's just going to be comfortable laying and praying, but a guy that's going to be hunting for submissions, hunting for finishes. So why not? Showcase fight, Bashi gets his hand raised inside the distance via submission.
All right, so we'll look at the other Bashis real quick. Bashi by points, plus 100, so even money, Bashi by points. Bashi by submission plus 470, and then Bashi by knockout plus 800.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the other thing that you do have to... Okay, now he's stepping up in competition. He's fighting better caliber fighters. Mm-hmm. So when typically when you make that draw up, you win the fight, but you win it going to the judges' scorecard. So if you're on the Bashi side, I could understand you wanting to go maybe the point route. Christian Rodriguez is a tough guy, but I think... When you look at this, again, methodically, Bashi's supposed to win this fight. That's why he's the debutant fighter as a big-time favorite. But I think he gets the finish.
All right. Our next fight here is going to be Cesar Almeida, minus 290, another heavy favorite against Abdulrazak Al-Hassan, plus 215. This is going to be in the middleweight division, and Al-Hassan has a 100% finishing rate through his 12 career victories. But he's coming off of a loss. Seeing his first win since the first month of 2023, so he didn't fight since for a while. So you've got you've got another member of Dana White Contender Series, and Cesar Almeida is making his debut here. So it looks like it's going to be a decent fight, because Al-Hassan likes to finish people, so it could be good.
Yeah, he does. I mean, look, he burst onto the UFC, you know, knocking some people out. The guy's a thick man, really thick guy, but well put together. Judo background, relies on that. Issue I have for him a little bit is that, you know, he's now getting up there in age. He's 39 years mm-hmm. of age. Inactivity, as you alluded to, but the inactivity was due to the fact that his last fight, which we dissected here on the Unnamed MMA podcast. I had to think about it for a second. We had a sponsor. We don't.
You say it like you're rubbing it in.
I'm rubbing it in on myself that I haven't been able to figure it out.
Is that your goal
yet.
For this year? Is to get a sponsorship by the end of the year?
It'll be one of my goals.
Okay.
One of my
goals. Let me know if I can help.
But it's also a situation where we were picking him to win against Josh Fremd and thought he was going to knock Josh Fremd out. But then Fremd misses weight. At the weigh-ins, and then he had to be transported to the hospital, and the fight was canceled. So Al-Hassan, good boxer. He's got that judo background. Cesar Almeida, well-known for a victory over a certain UFC light heavyweight champion of the world in Glory Kickboxing, and now trains with said champion in Boston, Massachusetts, with Glover Teixeira, and I am alluding to Alex Pereira. So Cesar Almeida hasn't really shown like that skill set that he was renowned for when he was a kickboxer. Hasn't like really transitioned to success, but I still believe he's going to be the better striker. He's going to be able to, you know, kind of pick apart Al-Hassan from distance, not succumb to a fight in a phone booth, and definitely not get into a situation where he's fighting inside a clinch battle with Al-Hassan. The thing that I worry about, again, as you know, when Behera was, you know, evolving as a mixed martial artist, like, we were always concerned, like, what happens when this fight goes to the ground? Is the guy able to get up? And I think Al-Hassan might want to do that, might mm-hmm. want to get this guy in that clinch, utilize some judo throws, and get this fight to the ground. You know, iron does sharpen iron, so I do have all the faith in the world that Almeida is doing the right things with Glover Teixeira, with the UFC light heavyweight champion in the world, in Pereira, but we haven't seen it yet. You can see it in the mats. You can believe that it's happening in training camp, but is it happening overall? So it will be a small play for me on Almeida. I think he's the better fighter. I think he's got more of an upside at this point in by either of the careers, and I just think both guys are going to obviously start each round in the fight standing, and I think Almeida's going to have success in there, and he'll get his hand raised. But very important caveat, not going into our parlor.
Ooh, okay. All right. I like that because at any second, you know, like we said with the 100% finish rate for Al-Hassan, you know, if Almeida walks into one, this could end quickly. So if we look at method of victory here, Almeida by knockout plus 140, Almeida by points plus 230, Al-Hassan by knockout plus 380, and then the rest are kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, the ridiculousness in this, I think it is a straight money line play on Almeida for me in this fight. You know, I don't love that he's such a big-time favorite, only in, what, his third UFC fight, and obviously Al-Hassan has, you know, been fighting for quite a while in the UFC. And small little money came in on Almeida. He started out a minus 250 favorite. You know, it's gone down now. Bet up to minus $3. And look, it does speak to Almeida too. I mean, Al-Hassan, this is Almeida's, what, third fight in the UFC. And the guys that he's fought before, like we're going to talk about what guy I think next in Roman Kapilov. That was a split decision loss. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Ihor Pretoria, who's just like the zombie man and was able to just walk through everything from Almeida and not get finished. We thought Almeida was going to go in there and finish him. He did not. But nonetheless, we like Almeida to win the fight.
All right. So, yeah, like you mentioned, we're going to go to our next fight, Chris Curtis against Kapilov. Kapilov right now is minus 280 on the money line. He's got that decision win over Almeida a few and now he's 5-1 over his last six outings. Chris Curtis coming in is plus 210, the underdog. What'll be interesting here is his last fight against Brendan Allen in April lost, but also tore his hamstring. So how is he going to rebound coming off of injury coming into this fight? Oddsmakers would think not well.
Yeah, and obviously there's reasons for it. We're also looking at, in all likelihood, a stand-up battle. When Kapilov has struggled and lost, it was against Fluffy Hernandez, and Fluffy Hernandez didn't want to beat around the bush in a fight with this and took him down and was able to choke him out of there. And actually, I think thinking back to that fight, Kapilov won that first fight. But we know how good Anthony Hernandez is. So and then obviously you just alluded to it, the victory over Almeida. But that's what Kapilov's going to do. Kapilov's going to utilize his kickboxing background. He's going to look for body kicks. He's going to have the speed advantage, you know, in this fight against the action man in Chris Curtis. And Chris Curtis is going to have to sit back and probably rely on his jab and try and utilize, you know, his boxing skill set to, you know, outwork Roman Kapilov. I just don't like that strategy. I think, you know, Chris Curtis is just very inconsistent for my doing to back him, to believe that he's going to win the fight and at that plus money. So I believe that the best performance we've seen from Chris Curtis, which came against Joaquin Buckley, and we know how good Joaquin Buckley is, that was in 2022, so obviously that was 3 years ago. Since that point, for Chris Curtis, it was a loss to Calvin Gastelum, a no contest against Imavov, a controversial split decision win over Marc-Andre Berrio, who's really not that good, and then obviously the loss to Brendan Allen, albeit it was a split decision loss to Brendan Allen. Brendan Allen's obviously a top-tier middleweight. So what I'm getting at is it's Kapilov. I think he wins the fight. I think from a skill set, he's just better where it's going to be contested, and that's on the feet. I just don't believe that Curtis is going to win because of his jab or win because he's going to look for takedowns.
All right, parlay?
Parlay.
All right. So we've got three fights in that parlay right now. Method of victory here, Kapilov by points at plus 105. Kapilov by knockout at plus 340. Curtis by points at plus 500. Curtis by knockout at plus 500 as well. And then the submissions, it's not going to happen.
I think this could be a fight that actually just looks at the over. You know,
okay.
I mean, play both guys. Maybe look at the over. Going to the judges. I could see, you know, again, as we've just going down his record and what he's done. Curtis, kind of a point fighter. Maybe he outworks and lands some damage and curries favor in the judges' scorecards and gets his hand raised in like a split decision that he's been doing over the last couple of fights.
All right, so we'll take the over in that one as well and also put Kapilov into our parlay here that we are building that now has three fights in it. Our next fight right now, the co-main event, Santiago Ponzinibbio right now is minus 130 on the money line, and Carlston Harris is even money right now at plus 100. 38-year-old Ponzinibbio comes back to Vegas here. He's in a two-fight slide. This is a guy that, you know, had a very bad leg injury. There was an infection that almost ended his career. He's 2-5 since that injury. So, you know, it, has he been affected by it? Obviously he has. He's coming in off a two-fight skid, like I mentioned. And then Carlson Harris coming in here. He is 4-1 with three finishes, and his only loss is to Shavkat Rakhmonov.
And that was on short notice.
Yeah, exactly. So
and his UFC debut.
I think it was.
I mean, look, here's the thing. Santiago Ponzinibbio back in November 17th of 2018, headlined a fight in Argentina. It was built around him. The guy had won, I think, eight fights in a row in the welterweight division. He was on a trajectory to fight for the championship or a title eliminator after he dispatched of Neil Magny. We know how good Neil Magny is, and this was 8 years ago. But then, as you alluded to, injuries, staff infection, contracted COVID. Just hasn't been the same fighter. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times relied on his athleticism and his toughness. And those two things have gone out the door since he's aged and since he's been in these fights against Pereira and Kevin Holland and Muslim Salikov. So Ponzinibbio cannot rely on that and his grit and his toughness anymore. His chin is basically gone. And look, I'll even say that he probably should be on a five-fight losing streak. He lost. He beat Alex Morono via TKO at UFC 282. This is the one win that's been sandwiched in between the four losses. And we have, I'm a little biased because I had Alex Morono on that fight. Alex Morono took that fight on short notice, and that was a catchweight fight, and he was winning round one, winning round two, winning round three until he got caught.
Mm-hmm.
Carlson Harris is not going to get caught. Carlson Harris is the younger fighter. I think he's the better fighter on the ground. He's got more power. This I love because I think this is currently as it sits, and let me just see how if the line is moving just a bit, but I think this is a fight that, like, you're looking and kind of betting on the fact of what Santiago Ponzinibbio was and looking at it as name, you know, variety and, mm-hmm. and name recognition is what I was looking for. So Ponzinibbio started out as a slight dog. Now he's a slight favorite. I like Carlson Harris. I think you wait even a little bit further until Carlson Harris becomes even more plus money. But I'm looking at a couple books right now. Obviously, we always recommend to shop around. I got him at plus 115, plus 110, plus 100. So Carlson Harris is a dog, and we like him to win this fight.
All right, I love that. If we go by method of victory here, Ponzinibbio by knockout is plus 240. Ponzinibbio by points is plus 310. Harris by points is plus 350. Harris by submission is plus 500. And Harris by knockout, plus 500 as well.
I think it's actually a healthy dose of maybe if you want to add a little bit of value, it's Carlson Harris inside the distance.
Okay.
Because Carlson Harris also packs a tremendous amount of power. I think if he gets his fight to the ground, he could win that fight via submission as well. So I'm looking for it. I just had it. Inside it is plus 250.
Okay. I'll write that one down on our list as well. So, and we won't throw them into the parlay just because you never know unless you really want to boost the odds.
No,
here
we don't need
parlay.
To boost the odds that way.
All right. Our final fight here, our main event, a rematch between Mackenzie Dern, who is plus 165 as the underdog against Amanda Ribas, who is minus 215 as the favorite, a heavy favorite. Ribas won this first matchup more than 5 years ago back in Tampa. She won it a unanimous decision here on the scorecard, so it did go the distance, but obviously it's been 5 years, so a lot has happened between the fight before this one. So this should be a decent fight between these two women here in this division, and Ribas here, the heavy favorite at minus 215.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was Mackenzie Dern's third fight in the UFC when she fought Amanda Ribas. And, you know, since that point, I think she's become a better fighter. Obviously, she's become a better fighter than that version that we saw. You know, the best ground specialist in women's mixed martial arts currently, or if she's not, she's in the top three. You know, Yverna Jeter, John DeRoba, she's a very talented woman as well. But, like, I love what Mackenzie Dern can do to the ground. She does pack power. Does Mackenzie Dern allow? It's just that sometimes she just lacks defense and just eats a ton of punishment or gets knocked out. We saw that in the case of Jessica Andrade. Amanda Ribas is also a very tough fighter, relies a lot on her boxing to get her and her quickness. It's just she's been tagged, in fights, and she's been stopped, before as well. I just don't believe that Amanda Ribas has, like, completely evolved or gotten better as much as Mackenzie Dern has gotten better, you know, since they last fought. I definitely think Amanda Ribas should be the favorite. I mean, I thought, look, she just went five rounds with Rose Namajunas, was competitive in that fight. Prior to that, you know, she's got a victory over Viviane Araújo, who just fought for the championship. But I think there's opportunity for Mackenzie Dern to steal this fight. I think there's opportunity for Mackenzie Dern to survive enough on the feet or land some damage, because she does have some powerful strikes, and also get this fight to the ground. There's a little bit of one thing that I'm worried about in backing Mackenzie Dern. So Mackenzie Dern also, you know, was really criticized because she came back super early in a lot of people's minds from her pregnancy, mm-hmm. and lost like in her UFC return from pregnancy. This fight, obviously, if you recall, was supposed to be a part of UFC Tampa to end the fight.
Mm-hmm.
You're a family man. I'm a family man. We're not both not mixed martial artists.
No, not
but
that
we
I,
are.
Not that I think,
but
yeah.
We are dedicated to our work and our crafts, but we're also sure. dedicated to our families.
Yeah.
How much was she training? How much was she in the gym during Christmas time?
Yeah.
That, there's a little bit of a worry for me that, like, there was that little break.
Okay.
A little bit of a break.
And
especially, too, for a woman in Mackenzie Dern that has had well-documented issues outside the cage with coaches and training partners. So is she right? So I'm recommending Mackenzie Dern. I'm going to fire on Mackenzie Dern when I see her at the weigh-ins.
Okay.
I'm going to wait to the weigh-ins.
And
but
we're recording
look,
this on a Wednesday. Recording
on a Wednesday.
So.
She has a decisive advantage on the ground. It will be a fish out of water for Ribas if she's on the ground. But
okay.
I do think Ribas can do enough over five rounds on the feet to win the fight.
Okay.
But I'll take Dern as the dog.
All right. So Dern is the dog there. Another underdog for us. So we've got our method of victory here. Ribas by points, minus 105. Dern by points, plus 490. Dern by submission, plus 490. Ribas by knockout, plus 700. And the rest aren't going to happen.
Correct.
And you like... And you're not going to give me one because you like the underdog at plus 165.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's any reason to get creative with it. Profit tonight. Here we go. First one of the year. He is coming off a very successful UFC Tampa prop of the night.
Time for the first prop of the night at 2025, and it is going to be, sorry, Jordan, Amanda Ribas by points at minus 105. Almost even money. So I disagree with you, but like, I don't think I really do, because your reasoning was like, yeah, but Ribas is probably going to win the fight. So I like you gave a good analysis, but at the end you were like, but she's probably going to win. So I am going with Ribas by points. I think this fight ends the same way it ended 5 years ago, going to the judges' scorecard, and Ribas's arm will be raised.
You know what that kind of means, though, too? It's like we're going to get a pretty lackluster main event for the first fight card of the year.
Yeah, and that's fine, because next week is insane.
Yeah. It's crazy.
All this Saturday is a chance to promote next week. That's all this is. This isn't good. Nothing about this is good that we just talked
next
about. Next week is great. Okay, so we'll get to next week in a second here. The picks here are Medich by points, sprinkle at plus 350. Bashi by submission, sprinkle at plus 470. Almeida money line, Kapilov over. Harris money line at even money. And then inside the distance also at plus 370. And then you're giving out Mackenzie Dern at plus 165 on the money line. I'm giving out as the prop of the night, Ribas by points at minus 105. Our parlay right now has three fights in it. Medich, Bashi, and Kapilov. Anything else we
should
add?
What does it pay currently?
Plus 165. For three fights.
For three fights.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm fine.
All right. Let's not force it. Week one of the, or I guess week two, but event one of the UFC. So that is our parlay there. Medich, Bashi, and Kapilov. And that pays 165, slightly over, about plus 167. And again, shop around if you want to. And you might be able to get some better odds there. But this is all but an appetizer for next week. This is, like I said, the early return to work where you just kind of get back. UFC 311 is next week. If 311 doesn't perform, that's a miss on Dana White. I'm saying it right now. They should. It's in Inglewood, California. So maybe I think they're from, where's 311 from? Hold on. This is
they are in Inglewood, California.
They're from Omaha, Nebraska. 311.
Oh, 311, the
yeah,
band.
The band, yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Well, all right. So next week is going to be great. It's a rematch. It is a title fight, two title fights. You've got Islam Makhachev against Armin Tsarukyan. That is a rematch. Should be a very good fight. Right now, Makhachev, a heavy favorite at minus 400. And Tsarukyan is plus 300. Then you've got Mirab Dvashvili against Umar Nurmagomedov. And Nurmagomedov is a heavy favorite there to get the belt away from Dvashvili at minus 320. And then also on that card in the main event, Jamal Hill, Jiří Procházka, Benil Dariush, Roy Moicano, Kevin Holland. And it's great. It's a great fight. It's a great fight. It's a great fight card.
Very good fight card. I mean, Grant Dawson is headlining the early prelims, and two fights ago, Grant Dawson headlined a fight night.
Yeah.
That's how deep this card is.
Johnny Walker is fighting.
Johnny Walker and Bogdan.
Yeah. Oh,
Kuskov, love that
great
guy.
Great fight. Spivak's fighting too.
Yeah.
This is a great card.
Yes.
Oh, this is what I'm going to have to
any
find for
early,
free. Any early takes on this?
I think that people still don't know who Bogdan Guskov is. He's a slight favorite against Johnny Walker. Johnny Walker's the notable name, so pay attention to that. And maybe some public money will come in on Johnny Walker and get Bogdan's number down.
You like Bogdan, though?
I do like
saying.
Bogdan okay. in that fight.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Zach Reese has shown to be a finisher, so we'll have to see what those prop ads come out against his fight against Sadiq Dumas. And look, I think, again, Renier de Ritter, Kevin Holland. The Ritter showed his mettle in his UFC debut. I think he could show it again against the notorious shit-talker in Kevin Holland. Outside of that, look, the main events, I agree with the favorite odds. So I think I said it last time that we were on the podcast together. At the current odds for Makhachev and the current odds for Umar Nurmagomedov, you can't bet either. Maybe you parlay them both.
Oh, we're gonna. Those are both going into the parlay.
Yeah,
for sure.
But just them, like 410 and 330.
Yeah,
that number's not going to be big at all. Probably be like minus 200. So
no, but they'll go into a fight with a. They'll go into one with a bunch of
other ones.
I would imagine.
Okay, yeah, if we want to get five or six legs going, but
I would guess.
Yeah, I'm excited for the fight card. It should be pretty amazing.
I can already give you my prop of the night.
It's
probably going to be Makhachev by submission at plus 200. Okay. It's plus 200 right now. How else is he going to win? He's minus 400. How else is he going to win?
Decision?
No. This is going to end fast, man.
Oh, really?
Makhachev and Tsarukyan? Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Tsarukyan almost got submitted by Charles Oliveira, but so does everybody. But then Tsarukyan's beaten everybody else.
Let's see. I guess it's even. The total rounds right now at 3.5 is even at minus 110 over under. So, yeah, okay, maybe not. But I'm going to guess. I might change it. I got a week to figure it out. Thank you for coming back and listening to the Unnamed MMA Podcast. He's Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. Get all of his picks, fatjacksports.com. College football playoff starts tomorrow. Again, resumes tomorrow. The NFL playoffs start on Saturday. It's going to be a great weekend. College basketball as well. Great soccer picks from Fat Jack. Make sure you get it, fatjacksports.com. Tell Fat Jack to sponsor us. fatjacksports.com, where you can get the rest of Jordan's picks for this UFC fight night and for the rest of the year in the MMA. I'm Adam Abdallah. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. And we'll be back next week to preview a great UFC event right here on the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.